Part 2. The Habits of Successful Organizations. Chapter 4. Keystone Habits, or the Ballad of Paul O'Neill. Which habits matter most? 1. On a blustery October day in 1987, a herd of prominent Wall Street investors and stock analysts gathered in the ballroom of a posh Manhattan hotel. They were there to meet the new CEO of the Aluminum Company of America, or Alcoa as it was known, a corporation that, for nearly a century, had manufactured everything from the foil that wraps Hershey's Kisses and the metal in Coca-Cola cans to the bolts that hold satellites together. Alcoa's founder had invented the process for smelting aluminum a century earlier, and since then the company had become one of the largest on Earth. Many of the people in the audience had invested millions in Alcoa stock and had enjoyed a steady return. In the past year, however, investor grumblings started. Alcoa's management had made misstep after misstep, unwisely trying to expand into new product lines while competitors stole customers and profits away. So there had been a palpable sense of relief when Alcoa's board announced it was time for new leadership. That relief, though, turned to unease when the choice was announced. The new CEO would be a former government bureaucrat named Paul O'Neill. Many on Wall Street had never heard of him. When Alcoa scheduled this meet and greet at the Manhattan Ballroom, every major investor asked for an invitation. A few minutes before noon, O'Neill took the stage. He was 51 years old, trim, and dressed in gray pinstripes and a red power tie. His hair was white and his posture military straight. He bounced up the steps and smiled warmly. He looked dignified, solid, confident, like a chief executive. Then he opened his mouth. "I want to talk to you about worker safety," he said. "Every year, numerous Alcoa workers are injured so badly that they miss a day of work. Our safety record is better than the general American workforce, especially considering that our employees work with metals that are 1,500 degrees and machines that can rip a man's arm off. But it's not good enough. I intend to make Alcoa the safest company in America. I intend to go for zero injuries." The audience was confused. These meetings usually followed a predictable script. A new CEO would start with an introduction, make a faux self-deprecating joke, something about how he slept his way through Harvard Business School, then promise to boost profits and lower costs. Next would come an excoriation of taxes, business regulations, and sometimes, with a fervor that suggested first-hand experience in divorce court, lawyers. Finally, the speech would end with a blizzard of buzzwords: synergy, right-sizing, and co-opetition, at which point everyone could return to their offices, reassured that capitalism was safe for another day. O'Neill hadn't said anything about profits. He didn't mention taxes. There was no talk of using alignment to achieve a win-win synergistic market advantage. For all anyone in the audience knew, given his talk of worker safety, O'Neill might be pro-regulation. It was a terrifying prospect. "Now, before I go any further," O'Neill said, "I want to point out the safety exits in this room." He gestured to the rear of the ballroom. "There's a couple doors in the back, and in the unlikely event of a fire or other emergency, you should calmly walk out, go down the stairs to the lobby, and leave the building." Silence. The only noise was the hum of traffic through the windows. Safety? Fire exits? Was this a joke? One investor in the audience knew that O'Neill had been in Washington, D.C. during the 60s. "Guy must have done a lot of drugs," he thought. Eventually, Someone raised a hand and asked about inventories in the aerospace division. Another asked about the company's capital ratios.